going to go ahead and get started. I'd like to welcome everybody here today to the pre-bid meeting for Hancock 224 11.81 project 13586 PID 84557. I'd like to introduce myself. I'm Jim Clark. I've been the project manager for this project along with Ron Nuna here with CH2M Hill. I'd like to do a few housekeeping items first. If you would please silence or turn off your cell phones to eliminate any interruptions. If you have a question, please state your name and who you're with, and then we'll proceed on from there. But first, I'd like to go around the room, have everybody introduce themselves, and state who they're representing. Like I said, I'm Jim Clark, with Ohio Department of Transportation. Start
over here. Stacey Schimler, ODOT District 1 Environmental.
Kurt Schlesher, ODOT District 1 Deputy Director.
Charlotte D. Markowski, Foundation Steel.
Pat Meyer, Foundation Steel.
George Baez, Mosher Construction.
Brian Geffey, Mosher Construction.
Sandy Heschel, Mosher Construction.
Nick Steyer, Mosher Construction.
Shell Miller, ODOT Real Estate.
Sean Wade, Eagle Bridge.
Ron Frantz, Eagle Bridge.
Dan Caseman, ODOT District 1 Planning and Engineering.
Dwayne Hackworth, District 1 Utilities.
Mark Roberts, District 1 Utilities.
Rhonda Pease, ODOT Public Information.
Kevin, ODOT Survey.
Jeff Kirsch, Kocosin Construction.
Randy Zeisloff, Miller Bros Construction.
Karen Charlotte, ODOT District 1.
Charlie Schrader, ODOT District 1 Construction.
Denny Hines, Miller Brothers.
Ryan Bernath, Miller Brothers.
Mike Murphy, District 1, Construction.
Chuck Klum, Kocosin.
Scott Okunzi, Kocosin.
Rob Nunes, CH2M Hill. All right, to start off, I'd like to turn it over to Stacey Schimler. She'll go over some of the environmental issues that you guys should be aware of, and then we'll move on into some questions.
Is there just some general stuff that people would be aware of? We have a floodplain permit for the project. Everything's good to go. So any changes must be approved by construction myself before they move forward. There are three waterways that are in or near the project area. Blanchard River, Dazzle Ditch, I think is how you say it, and an unnamed tributary. Nothing can go in any of those, no outlet pipes, no rock, no driving through it, no touching it, basically. The project does require post-construction BMPs. Make sure that they get put in, and non-performing them needs to be authorized through construction, central office, District 1, and myself before we can do that. A stormwater pollution prevention plan is required for sediment erosion control. It'll be inspected by construction myself throughout construction. We can't let any sediment get into any of the three waterways. Should it get in there, we have to get it out. So just be ready for that. And expect to see me there during construction, during and after hours, because I live pretty close.
All right, anything question-wise for Stacy while she's here? All right, if not, pretty much open the floor to any questions and discussions, whichever it may lead to. So feel free to ask.
Jim, Denny Hines with Miller Brothers. There's a BP pipeline at about station 611. How deep is that? It doesn't show any depth on
it's
we aren't going to get into it, all
it. No, you
guys have any. We have a letter of no objection from Sunoco.
Yep.
Okay. Do they have to be present when you're working around it?
Yes, they'll have to be contacted. Their contact is Mike Lerma. That's his area.
Denny Hines, Miller Brothers again. On page 72, there's the detour set up on, I think, 235 and 12. And there was a pretty big question I asked, and it sounded like the contractor's going to have to sign that.
Correct.
ODOT's not going to sign it like they normally do?
No.
There's a note in the plans that the engineer can require more signs. We can't bid more signs. We don't know how many signs that is. Somebody's going to put a number on that. How many signs do you think you're going to use or something? Put a number on it. If it exceeds that, actually, we're going to ask for more money. And I know it's under the lump sum, but there's a way to fix it. Danny Hines, Miller Brothers again. There was an extensive amount of barriers set up on this job. There are no accesses provided to get into the work when that barrier's up. On the bridge, when you're doing the bridge on 224. And they just set, their barrier just set up around the whole thing. Is there any requirements of how we get in there to work?
On the bridge, we have full access to the ranks.
What's that?
You have full access to the ranks.
Place there on Trenton on the east side, north side of the road. Is there access off of Broad Avenue, adequate access during construction? Because you put the barrier right straight across their driveway, one off of 224.
Yeah, that's what it'll end up being, especially even while you're building that drive. The access will come in off of that service road to access onto Broad. Mm-hmm.
Who signs that, Jim? Who's going to give him a sign off Broad to get to Culver's? I mean, you're coming in by Steak and Shake. You got to go all the way around Steak and Shake and kind of through the hotel's parking lot to get to Culver's from Broad. I'm just curious for construction.
It'd have to be the project that's going to sign it, not to a business. That's going to be blocked off anyway. So nobody can get it.
Jeff Kirsch with Kakosin Construction. Someone had turned in a pre-bid question questioning the overall schedule and completion date of the project. I can't remember who asked, I don't know who asked it, but it was very detailed. Will that be addressed soon with the bid date coming up of December 12th?
Yeah, that's being looked into right now.
Do you have any idea when yay or nay will come about?
Soon. Yet in the next couple of days.
Thank you.
Anything else? Anybody?
Denny Hines, Miller Brothers. There was a pre-bid question asked about the pavement thicknesses, and I think the answer was given was you took the worst case and said that's what your basin, that's what you base our bid on for the various, for the ramps and 224. There's two borings that show concrete pavement on 224. And what you said right now is 12 inches of asphalt. And in your answer, you also commented the concrete stuffer, the thing you're basing it on.
Actually, that concrete is coming off of the ramps. The ramp, basically what happens is, it's at least the concrete goes into it, 1 or 2 foot into US 224. Maybe the boring was taken at that location.
You want the boring numbers?
I don't know the boring numbers.
I know.
Is that?
The borings on 224, there's 9 inches of boring B07010 and 8 inches of B07110. One stationing or? The station for the first one is 625 plus 27. The second one is 625 plus 42. One's on the right and one's on the left.
Yeah, those are pretty close to those ramps, actually.
Yes, closer to the approach slab on the bridge.
Yeah.
But it's not the approach slab because it's past the approach slab.
Take a look at those pull ranks again.
If we can't answer them today, I will get an answer back to you through a subsequent addenda. So don't feel free to or afraid to not ask. If we don't have the answer today, I will get it for you.
Rock Front Saver Bridge. Again, I want to talk about the pre-bid questions about the time extension. I mean, not time extension, but the actual contract time. You know, we can make a date, you know. It's not attainable, and if you bid that, then the job gets to let me, and the job just gets snowballed back. I mean, we all bid it; it doesn't come to apple to apples, like you say. And my point is, I think we need to make a realistic date. You know, what we can be attained. You know, so then work will get completed in that timetable you're looking for. I mean, I think the schedule you got laid out now is just so aggressive, and if you break it all down by your pores, and I don't know how you're going to get there.
Yeah. All that's taken, we're going to take that into consideration.
Okay.
Want to make sure that we know what we got working and going on off of there. So, like I said, we'll have an answer for that in the next couple of days.
Denny Hines with Miller Brothers. When you do that, you realize there's a 21-day period in there that there'll be no bridge work because we have to have the traffic open on the eastbound side of 224 and traffic running there after we make the repairs for the difference in elevation up at the top of the ramps. You got 7 days to do that. You turn around, you got 14 days to make the repairs on the westbound traffic on 224 and make that hook up on those ramps. And the total amount of that time could be is 21 days. And during that time, there could be no bridge work because you have to have the new bridge open. And the old one you can't touch because you got to run traffic up and over to tear the bridge down. So you lose 3 weeks right in the middle of your construction season.
Okay. Eagle Bridge. Just a second, and you need that 3 weeks to get that done. I mean, the phasing works the way it's designed, but you are going to lose 3 weeks right in the middle of the job, and you have to build it the way it's shown. I mean, that's very good idea, but with the grade changes, you're talking 4 or 5 feet out there in those intersections, there's no way to
change it.
I mean, it's designed correctly and it's going to work, but you know, like you said, the one bridge has to be open and you can't demo the other until the ramps are connected with the grade change.
Benny Hines with Miller Brothers had two ramps on the north side, are both concrete ramps too, and they're up done half the time. There's room to go in there and do them full width. So you'll have to have 14 days to, I already get done then with the cure patch or anything.
All this is good information that we'll all be taking into consideration. So, any more of this stuff that you got, by all means, throw it out there. We'll need everything you got. So we can share.
Chuck Klump, proposing. What, as far as a starting date, I saw a note. Something about snow and ice removal possible. We'd have to get approval from the engineer to start, I believe, prior to the date, I think of April 1st. What is your expectation, or how soon could a contractor get started with MOT out on 75? If it's earlier than April 1st, what would, from your experience, or what would you allow? That note was kind of open-ended, like we'd have to get approval.
As soon as possible.
We wouldn't be not allowed to start sooner, I guess is my question.
No, that was the whole intent, or our whole idea, that with the schedule the way it is right now, and as aggressive as it is, we were assuming that you would start as soon as you possibly could. So, that being said, there would be really no, I guess, restrictions of being able to start.
But if you have a forecast of snow, would you tell the contractor to hold off, you can't start?
It would depend on what you're doing. I think if you're setting barrier or doing something like that, or you're going to be impacting traffic on 75 in some way,
yeah,
we'd have to look at what it is you're going to be doing.
I mean, a couple of two or three lost weeks there would be huge based on what everybody's concerns are about schedule.
Sure.
Some widening on 75 in the northbound lane in the median. It's done during the closure of the main line, the traffic going over the ramps. To do that work early, you're going to have a great weather forecast. You're going to do it, you're going to have some asphalt lines open. And does that get removed? Never comp. There's never anything that makes traffic or anything in there about taking that back out after you put that in there. And there's no really time to do it either.
The intent is to leave that pavement in.
Okay, well, that's what I want to know.
It's extra, like it's 4 feet extra of widening.
Right.
Yep. We just talked about myself for the meeting. Again, if the asphalt plant is closed, For the temporary payment, you can use concrete to expedite the process.
The problem with the whole thing is the time of year you're going to be doing it in, it's going to be critical to that Friday evening to Monday morning that you have weather that you can get there and do that. If it rains, all the water from the pavement's going to run over into that trench, you can't do it then.
Chuck it's very likely if we're starting as early as probably is needed, that the temporary striping and assume RPMs and whatnot probably going to require 6.1 RPMs for the date spec. Is that what you really want? Because it's just a temporary zones and you're starting, you know, what's the cutoff date? April 1st. I think that's at the contractor's expense.
Also, I don't think there'd be enough time to put in the 621 RPMs for that weekend closure. You'd probably, I mean, just be better off waiving that and putting in the 614.
I think for that short period of time, it's probably.
That's, I realize that, but the book says, I think it says April 1st. If you want to start prior to that, somebody could require 621 RPMs to put in.
To tear and do a whole two halves of a bridge in one season. We've spun some others out there.
Yeah, we did it 30 and or 696-30 at Beaver Dam. Yeah. Even our clients, reservoir road bridge actually.
Yeah, we did it.
That wasn't half the time, though.
Oh, no, that's right. That was closed. Sorry.
The fine was a full closure, too.
Not 30.
That's 696.
Yeah, not 696. That was part one.
Not half the time. When you did the Beaver Dam interchange, we didn't have near as much of the road you got on this job. And you don't have near the time these ramp closures coming in and out. I mean, we did that one up there. You just had approach pavement on both sides. We didn't have near the amount of grade difference. You didn't have the grade differences we got here to deal with. I mean, you got dry sheeting, you got everything else in this job. I mean, they're not really apples to apples.
Sure. Send your questions through the pre-bid process. We'll take care of them at that point in time. But if there's no further questions then today, thank you all for coming, and we'll adjourn the meeting.